Hi, Russell Evans here. We're so excited to have you here with us today. Today I'm speaking on growth. God wants every person to grow in this season. When we grow, we step into a season of harvest. Sit back and enjoy the sermon.
Fantastic. How you all doing? That's good. You know, I was asking the Lord, this year is a year of overflow. It's a prophetic declaration. And I was in a prayer meeting just the other day, and I was praying and I said, God, what do you want to do in November, December and January? Because our years, usually how we run our year is we start in February is when we start the new year. And so I said, okay, God, what do you want to do in November, December, January, coming into February? What is the word that you have for our church? And he gave me these two words that were, which I believe I'm going to preach on one of the words next week, but I'm going to preach on the first part of the word this week. And he began to speak to me about what God wanted to do in each one of us. How many excited when God says, I want to do something in the people's lives? He's already given me the word for 2017, the prophetic declaration of what God wants to do. Who would like to know that? Come next year. It's going to be awesome. We just want to see God do amazing things. So the word that God spoke to me for the next 3 months and a half is the word grow, growth and harvest. That God wants us to come into a growth season, both personally and collectively. And, you know, we've grown this year in so many ways. There's been overflow. If you think about this year, we've had our greatest conference we've ever had in Planet Shakers. We've launched Austin Church campus, which now has its own building. Our album, we just released a Spanish album that just came out today. It's number one in Colombia, secular, and it's number five on the Latino charts in America right now. God is releasing a sound across the earth. The band are on tour right now. They're in Orlando. They go to Argentina, then to Chile, and then they're into Colombia. And the sound that God is releasing on earth is amazing. What God's doing in Papua New Guinea is unprecedented. And so we are really in a season of overflow. But I like breaking down seasons to moments where God wants to do stuff. So I want to speak to you about growth. This is a season of growth. Next week I'll talk about harvest, but this is a season of growth. God wants to release growth into our lives. How many know that we live in a kingdom that is a kingdom of increase? In Genesis 8:22, it says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. So here's this little statement, seed time and harvest. What is seed time? It's growth season, and harvest is a reaping season. The Bible says where we sow, we will reap. But also it says there come a day that you'll reap where you have not sown. That's the nature of God. He wants to bring abundance and overflow. Even in what we've sown into, we'll receive from. But what we haven't sown into, we will receive from. Thanks. That's a good job. You make me sound nice. You can go and now operate on some people because he's a surgeon, so he can operate on some people. I spoke to the leaders on this the other night, so I'm not going to speak long on what I spoke to the leaders. But to have a seed time, you got to have seed. How many know that God gives you seed? Sometimes we pray for trees and God says, no, I want you to pray for seed because the trees come out of the seed. And if you can treat the seed properly, the trees will reproduce and harvest and overflow. But if you can't look after the seed, how are you going to look after the tree? So we all have seed. And then we have to create an environment because seed is given by God. So seed, the Bible says that we get by faith are you saved. It's a gift from God. So the seed of faith is being given by God when you're saved. So our job is to create an environment for the seed to grow. That's called soil. So we have seed and we have soil. The soil is the condition of our hearts. There's an illustration in the Bible about where there was seed sown into different parts, and Jesus said the seed, the different parts, the path, the thorns, the rocky ground, and the good soil is a reflection of our heart. So our hearts are the places where our soil is, and so where the soil is, if our hearts are hard, the soil's hard, so the seed gets choked and killed. But if the soil is soft and the soil has fertilizer in it and the soil it has replenishment in it, guess what happens? That seed grows. Yeah. Then you have to water the seed, and the S we picked for that was spring water because it's the only S I could get that sounded like water. So spring water, so then you water the seed. That's the Holy Spirit's job. He waters and he refreshes and he keeps the soil fresh. And then the sun comes, and the sun represents revelation and knowledge. So God wants to bring revelation to your life. If you stop living in revelation, you stop growing. So God gets you to get your seed. We create the soil. We let the Holy Spirit come with its water. And then we have the sun. And then out of there comes a plant, and then eventually a tree, and then fruit. So God wants us to go into a growth season. So I'm going to take the name growth, and I'm going to take each letter. What do they call that? An acronym. No, the acronym. And we're going to take each letter to show how each one of us can grow. This is a growth season. Turn to your neighbor and say, that doesn't mean more carbs. A growth season. So G is the start of growth, obviously. G, no, actually, let me read Luke 2:49. Jesus was 12 years of age, and he had gone and disappeared, and there was a search party, and they found him in the house of God. And Jesus replied, "But why do you need to search?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I must be in my Father's house?" But they didn't understand what he meant. Then he returned to Nazareth with them, and he was obedient to them. And his mother stored all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew, everyone say grew, in wisdom and in stature and in favor. Everyone say favor. With God first and all the people. So Jesus grew in favor with God and with people. I believe that God is going to release an anointing to grow, to have favor with God and favor with people. If I had a paraphrase for this sermon, it's called growth, but really if the paraphrase I'd have for this sermon or a subtitle is favor ain't fair. Have you ever looked at somebody and they've got favor and you go, well, that ain't fair. Why have they got favor and why haven't I got favor? But favor ain't fair when you don't have faith. Because favor comes through faith. So if you think favor ain't fair, you're really saying I don't have faith. Because God responds to faith. And faith is the substance of heaven. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So faith is the currency of heaven. To release heaven on earth, you have to have faith. And faith releases favor. Where there's no faith, there's no favor. See, we think favor creates faith. No, faith creates favor. So favor ain't fair if you don't live in faith. But the good thing about God, he's given us a seed of faith to get our soil right, to water, to get the sun of revelation so that we all can live in favor. Favor with God and favor with man. So the first G in the word growth equals God. Seek first, Matthew 6:33, the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. The problem with humanity is we chase all these things instead of God. Well, if I have this house and I put all my efforts in, amazing, I see married couples and before they get married, they're in the church and they're so hungry for God, then they get married and then they get too busy for church. And then they build a house and they wonder why they lose their passion. Why? Nothing wrong with having a house, but God says, look after my house first and I'll look after your house. But they chase added things instead of God. Or a girl likes a guy and he's her everything, and so he chases him, and she goes, well, he's unsaved, but I'm going to get him saved. Cool, for the glory of God. It's my soul winning. And you date him before you even... And you heard testimonies, well, that person did that, so that will work for me. But the Bible says not to be unequally yoked. So what is he saying? He's saying, seek me first. Seek first the kingdom of God, and I'll look after the guy. I'll look after the house. I'll look after the car. I'll look after the future. I'll look after the children. I'll look after, seek me first. The word seek there is the word where you can get the word crave. When my wife was pregnant, she craved certain food. In the middle of the night, can you get me that food? I'm like, okay. I tell this story of, you know, restaurant. There's this restaurant I like in Singapore. And when I used to fly to England to preach, you'd go via Singapore and there'll be a 2-hour stopover, and that wasn't long enough. So I'd stay overnight just so that I could eat lunch in this restaurant. I would position myself because I had a craving to eat at this restaurant. I would put my time schedule to fit in with my craving. I would position my life around my craving. So if God is your craving, you'll position your life around Him. So seeking, craving after God first. That word first is proton. It means in order or authority. And the problem with so many people is we have a hierarchical system when it comes to God. We say, well, God's first, family second, finances third, careers fourth, hobbies fifth. But God doesn't live in a hierarchical position. He lives in everything. So it's a circular position. He is in the middle and everything gets attached. So God's first. So that means God's first in my family. What does that mean? The things that are important to God are important to my family. So that means if God's house is important to Him because it's where He puts His energy into, then it's important to my family. His house is more important than my hobbies. I have people, when I was a youth pastor, I was a youth pastor for a long time. And this doesn't always happen, but many times this happens. I'd have parents that would make the house of God sort of part of their life, but not primary. God's house first. Sunday's God's day. We're gonna put His house first. It was sort of like, I can fit Him in once a month. And so then their kids are 15, 14, 13, and they don't want to be in God's house because they find it boring. Or they're not hungry for God's house, and all of a sudden the parents come to me and say, oh, would you please fix up my son Johnny because he's not loving God at the moment. The reason he's not loving God partly is because we haven't demonstrated in our family that God's first in our family. So what is important to God is important to our family. So that means He's more important than our sport. He's more important than our career. He's more important. So He's in the center of our family. So what's important to God is important to our family. He's first in our finances. So that's why He gets the first of what we have. He's first in our careers. So that's why when I'm doing my job, it isn't unto my salary or unto my vision, it's unto Him. And so I want to be the best in my job because He's first. I want to have the best attitude in my job because He's first. I want to love people more than anyone else because He's first, because He's not first there, then family, then job, then no. He's in the middle and all these things are around Him. And when you look after Him, He looks after all these things. All these things shall be added unto you. But so many people run after the add-ons instead of the original. God, see, what putting God first is about positioning. See, when I position Him first in my life, I'm putting myself in an environment of faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But if you're not in the house of God, if you don't get devotional life, if you don't listen to the word of God, if you're not in worship, how are you going to hear from God if all you're hearing is other stuff that does not build faith? But when you position yourself to say, God, you are first in my finance, that means my finance don't speak to me. You speak to me about my finance. Oh, you're first in my family. That means my situations or my struggles don't speak to me, but you speak to me because you're first in my family. Oh, you're first in my career. So I'm not worried about the economy because I'm yours and you are mine. It doesn't matter if it's Donald or Hillary or Jimmy Jock Jew or Bada Baboo. Doesn't matter who it is, who the president is, who the prime minister is, who this is, who's that, the chancellor of this, the chancellor. If God is first, I'm okay because he looks after me. He says he'll rebuke the devourer and open up the windows of heaven. He's first in my life. To grow, you got to put him first. You're online. You can stand and cheer as well around the campuses. Not cheering me, but coming in agreement with the word of God. That's why when we speak out our word and come in agreement, we release something in the atmosphere. That's why the devil wants you to shut your mouth. But when you go yes and amen, there's something that happens in the spirit because faith comes by hearing. And when you speak out what you're hearing, guess what happens? Something in your spirit comes alive. Woo! The next R. Next letter is R, is receive. You can't give something that you don't receive. So when you put him first, you receive salvation. When you put him first, you receive power. So we got to learn to receive. As people receive from God. The Bible says, to as many received him, he gave them power to be the sons of God. So when God is first, your ear is attentive to his voice, and then you receive what he says. The reason why so many people don't walk in their destiny is because they haven't made him first, so that when he speaks, they don't receive. Your miracle is in your hearing, but it's also in your receiving. If we're going to grow, we've got to learn to receive. Got to receive the word of the Lord. We got to receive the encouragement of leaders. We got to receive what people are putting into our life. We got to receive what the Spirit is saying. See, if you're not a receiver, see, your receiving is all about your perceiving. So if your perceiving is wrong, your receiving's wrong. Yeah, so I got to be a good receiver, so I got to be a good perceiver. So how do I be a good perceiver? I keep my perception in my heart clean. I keep it. The Bible says the pure in the heart shall see God. I got to keep my receptive. The heart is the receptive part of my being. And so I got to make sure that I don't have hardness. I don't have unforgiveness. I don't have hurt in my reception, because my perception will be my reception.
That's good.
So be a receiver. That's why being in family is a great place to be a receiver. It's also a great place to get hurt, because you get hurt when you're with people. But that's where you go, I'm not going to let that hurt get in here, because they'll hurt my receiving. So I'm going to forgive. See, so what I said about that young people, they come to me and they, going back to that story, because I went off that story, they go, could you fix up our kids? But the problem is, they haven't put God first in their family. So now they're reaping what they've sown. So my challenge to every new parent, put him first. My challenge to every existing parent, continue to put him first. And if you haven't, repent. But God will renew and restore, because he's good. But I don't want you to go through the pain of what it looks like of not putting him first in your family. Receive. Everyone say receive. I hope you're enjoying the message so far. We've got a few more letters to go through. WTH is going to be an awesome end to this sermon. So get ready for your increase. Then O stands for output. See, if you receive, you've got to then learn to output, to give. Output. Oh, if we're going to grow, we've got to learn to output. We've got to learn to receive, but then we've got to learn to output. Because if we don't output, we will become a swamp. Swamps become sticky, stinky. They become places that you don't want to be in. There's a lot of rain that might go into them, but there's no outlet. And because there's no outlet, it stinks. And so many Christians have stunk around the world because they've all been all about me, 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 like little babies. Me, 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 me. Oh, give me, 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 me. I'm leaving. Me, 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 me. I've been hurt. Me, 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 me. It's about me, 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 me. But if it's not about you and it's about him, 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 because he's first and you've learned to receive. Now you have output and you say, I'm a river, not a reservoir. I'm not a swamp. I'm a flow through. I'm an output. Give what you've been. See, output. See, if all I do is receive, if all I do is eat food and I don't release what I have, I'll become constipated and I'll be in pain. It's true. Biology. Because there's no output, there's blockage. And if you've ever had constipation, it's not good, la. You're walking around, ooh. People say, jump in the house of God. They go, I can't because I'm constipated. I've had no output. And so many Christians walk around painful, oh, because all they've done is input, 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 receive, 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 and they don't output. The reason so many people don't grow is they don't know how to receive, and so that's why God wants to put you put God first and show how good he is, then you receive from him and then you output what he gives you. The next letter is W, which means work it. Everyone say work it. I got Ted sitting here, and we joined a gym one time, and Ted's a very fit, he's a lot fitter looking guy than I am, and we had this personal trainer, and so he was like, if you, an analogy, if we're building ourselves up, he's like the God in our relationship. He's the one who tells us what to do. So he's like, do this, do that, right? And then we received his instructions and we did it. We outputted and then we worked it. And I remember at the end of it, he did the stretching. Poor old Ted, he's got cramp in both legs. It was one of the funniest things I've seen on planet Earth. He's like, oh, he's like Essendon Football Club crying for the last 4 years. That's who he barracks for, by the way. He was in cramp. But the next time he did, he was in less cramp, and before long, he was running faster than me, and he's shorter than me. That's not right. Why? Because he was secretly working it behind my back and doing extra sessions. Because he didn't want me to beat him in the gym, so he was working, like, doing his little runs, and then he'd say, okay, he's done any work? Oh, I don't know, maybe. And then he's like, hey, how's it going? I'm like, because I didn't work it. I listened to the instructions. I received what they had. I did some output, but because I hadn't worked it, I didn't have a greater capacity. Work it. Work the gifts of God that's given you. Don't operate from works, but the Bible says faith without works is dead. So you've got to work the seed. You've got to develop. You've got to output and you've got to multiply it. That's why the seed isn't just about the seed. It's about the multiplication. So work it. It's a growth season. So put God first. Receive from him. Output what he's given you and work it and multiply it. Then the next letter is T, for tithe. You said, what does that mean? Does it mean I need to give 10% of my money? No, no. The tithe concept is giving God first fruits. So make him first again. All along the journey, he brings us back to first. First, everything you give first redeems the rest. So when I give my finances, I don't give my last 10% or whatever I give. I give my first. Why? Because it redeems the rest. So I don't give him my first I don't give him the last of my day. I give him the first of my day. Why? Because I want to have a good day. And if I wake up with him in my mind, if I wake up with worshiping him, if I wake up thinking about him, I'm now the rest of the day redeeming, setting up an atmosphere to be God thinking. If all I do is worship him at the end of the day, I just have nice dreams. So tithe it. Give him first fruits. Then H stands for honor. Everything of growth operates through honor. Honor the Holy Spirit. Honor, the word honor, if you read my book, it came from the concept of where they would weigh coins. And the heavier the coins were, the more value they were. So when Jesus says, they do not honor me in my hometown, what he was saying is they don't value the weight I carry, the value I have. And they couldn't receive because they didn't honor him. If we're going to grow, we've got to honor his presence. We've got to honor his voice. We've got to honor his love. We've got to honor him when he says, forgive those who have hurt you. We've got to honor him when he says, go and reach out. We've got to honor him when he says, give to people. We've got to honor him when he says, go pray for the sick and they will recover. When you honor the voice of the Spirit, you grow. I've discovered if you don't honor what God says, you never grow. People ask me all the time, how do you move in the meetings like you do? How do you hear the voice of the Spirit? I hear pastors. These are pastors talking to me. How do you do that? I said, well, how I did it is because I learned as a young age to honor when he spoke. When he says, there is someone here. I just did this last week in Singapore, and God said, it was 30 people, and they're all young. And I'm like, this sounds a bit weird. This is not right for this group. He said, there's someone here with a thyroid condition. And this girl comes up to me afterwards and she said, that was me. And I felt a difference straight away. I said, there's someone here and you have a back condition and God's healing you. And they go, well, my back got healed. Now I've learned that when God speaks, I got to honor him because he's the one who does the work. I've just got to honor his work. When I'm in worship, I got to honor him. I got to learn that my hands are lifted to him in honor. My voice is lifted to him in honor. My passion is lifted to him in honor. You see, when I don't honor him, I stop what he can do in my life. And sometimes when I don't honor my bosses, I don't allow God to work in me because I've refused to stop. I've refused to honor what he's put in there to be over me. Oh, got real quiet now. Honor the voice of the Spirit. Honor him. Because when you honor him, you grow. This church is growing not because I'm this incredibly good-looking, bald, Heston chef. There's been seasons that I've been skinnier. There's been seasons I've been bigger. There's been seasons that I've been more handsome. There's been seasons I've been cooler. There's been seasons that I could sing better. There's seasons I can preach better. But what kept it going over the last 12 years is honor. When we honor him, we value him. We give weight to him. You see, when you give weight to him at the beginning, I put you first and I give weight to him at the end. H, I put you first. He's at the head and he's at the bottom. He's at the side and he's at the other side. He's everything in everything. He's the Alpha and he is the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. And if I want to grow, I've got to learn to put him first. I've got to learn to receive. I've got to learn that I've got to release output. I've got to then work it, then I got to tithe with my life, give first fruits, and then honor him. Yeah. It's a growth season, but growth doesn't automatically happen. It happens by positioning. It happens by hungering. It happens by receiving. It happens by releasing. It happens by working it. It happens by tithing it. It happens by honoring him. And when you do that, you grow. As soon as you stop growing, look at it and say, is God first? Look at it and say, am I receiving? Look at it, am I outputting? Look at it, am I working it? And look at it, am I tithing with my life? Look at it. Am I honoring?
Come on.
Growth. It's a growth season. Growth isn't about filling the chairs, although that will happen. Growth is about you growing. And when God says prophetically, it's a growth harvest season. You can hear a great sermon and go, gee, that was a pretty good sermon. Or you can go, hey, that's for me. God, I've got to put you first. Is there anything in my life that you're not first in? Oh God, yes, is there something stopping me from receiving? Is my perception wrong? I've got to get my receiving right. Oh God, have I kept things to myself instead of being an output of blessing? You know, you hear testimonies. Jimmy, we love you, man. That's awesome. What God is doing in you, amazing, brilliant, brilliant. But that wouldn't happen if there was an output. And there's more Jimmys to win in the world. There's a whole heap more. Janes, because they're looking for a J word. Jahings, just make it Asian. Jed. There's more people to win, but it won't happen if there's no output. Then you've got to work it. Your seed just doesn't happen. It needs to be worked. The soil needs to be worked. It needs to be watered. It needs the sun to come on it. It needs us to go in cooperation with the gifts that God's given us. Then God, again, I come to the realization, you're first. So I put you first. I tithe it. I give first fruits to it. And I honor you with my life. But if you don't grow, you'll just become, so many Christians, just overweight spiritual people. I'm not talking about physical, overweight, just feed me. I don't like that anymore, I'm going to go to another place, which has a different menu. But the problem is they eat a different menu, but they never release output and work. So the church generally, globally, is ineffective to what it could be because most of it is run by 20%. Instead of 80% of people, 100% of people selling their life out for the cause of Jesus and saying, I want to grow in every season. I remember my grandfather, Mr. Keeble, play and come. I remember my grandfather, he's 80 odd years of age. I've told this story before, but my grandfather he was a first generation Christian. He got saved in the Welsh revival. 17 years of age, sitting at the back of a meeting, and the preacher felt the Holy Spirit. He honored the Holy Spirit, who said, that young man doesn't know Jesus. Go back there and ask him if he wants to know Jesus. So in the middle of the sermon, a man got off the stage and went to the back of an auditorium and said, young man, do you know Jesus? And he said, no, I don't. He said, would you like to? He said, yes, I would. 17 years of age, a smoker for 7 years. So since he's 10, smoking cigarettes, working in coal mines. So really his future probably would have been lung cancer or some life. But my grandfather gave his life to Jesus. He made God first. All through his life, he said, I want to grow. He was a person that never settled. He always wanted to grow. The age of 80, around there in his 80s, has this encounter with God where there's things that have annoyed him in his life that he never dealt with. But he said, God, I want to grow. So those things that had annoyed him, he dealt with and said, God, I give it to you. In his 80s, he could have said, no, I'm all right. But he kept wanting to grow. He said he had this visitation from God and he wrote a song. And the song said, be my guide, O Holy Spirit. In his 80s, he wrote a song, never written a song in his life. He wanted to grow. At 86, he goes blind. He said, I want to learn Braille. I said, Grandpa, why do you want to learn Braille? He says, because I want to read the Bible every day. I said, Grandpa, there's things called cassette tapes back then, and CDs were just coming in. I said, you can hear the Bible on cassette and you can hear the Bible on CD. He says, that's not the same. I got to read the word for myself. I got to keep growing. So 86 years of age, he learns Braille. So now 86, he's growing. He's still reading the Word. He's hearing CDs and cassettes, but he's reading it for himself, 86. At 88 years of age, he plants a church in the outback of Australia. Why? Because he decided every season of my life, I got to grow. And God spoke to me and he said, these next 3 months is a growth season for this church. Whoever say, God, grow me. I make God first. I receive from him. I output. I work. I tithe with my life and I honor. Then growth, seed time, and harvest. I'm going to talk about harvest next week. You don't want to miss out on harvest. I like the harvest time, but there's a growth time too. See, it's our season to grow personally. And you say, I want to be a person who grows. I want to make God first. I want to receive. I'm going to make sure my receiving's right. I've got to output. I've got to work. I've got to tithe with my life. I've got to honor the Holy Spirit. If that's you, I want you to stand to your feet all over this room. See, the results of growth is favor with God and favor with man. But favor doesn't come without faith, because favor ain't fair unless you have faith. And you say, God, I want to put you first. I want to receive from you. I want to output. I want to work with you. I want to tithe with my life. And I want to honor you. If that's you, would you lift your hands to heaven? With your altar. Would you say, God, if there's anything in my life that you're not first in, I make you first again. You're first, you're the center. Be the center. Let everything revolve around it. I want to receive right now. Say, I receive from God. I receive what you have. Oh, let there be an output in my life, but I need to receive from you. I receive from your hand. I want to work with you, Lord, and I'm going to tithe with my life. I'm going to give you first fruits of my life, because that redeems everything else. And Lord, I want to honor your presence. I value you more than anything. I value your voice. I value your love. I value you. And I honor you. Because honor is the key to faith, and faith is the currency of heaven. And so if I have heaven on earth, I need to honor you. I honor you by lifting my hands in worship. I honor you by listening to your voice in the day. I honor you as I sing songs to you. I honor you as I give my gifts to you. Jesus, here I am. You're all I desire. Take my life. Jesus, have your way in me.
Thanks so much for being with us today. We pray that it's been a blessing to you. Connect with us on social media, wherever you are. We want to hear from you. We want to hear what God is doing in you and through you. It is a season of growth and harvest. God bless you.